Hello everybody, this is Lucy Bardia's message for Sunday, the 8th of January, the Three Kings. The day before yesterday, January the 6th, was, according to our brand new calendars, the Feast of Epiphany. What does Epiphany mean? This translates as appearance. On this date, we celebrate the appearance of Jesus before the Magi, or rather, the discovery of Jesus by the Magi, these men who came from the east following a star, seeking to meet the new king of the Jews who was born. Read this in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Matthew is the only one of the four evangelists to tell us about this event. But if I asked you, or even people on the street, what exactly we celebrate on January the 6th, I would have many more answers than that which is contained in this biblical account. People would talk to me about the crown of kings. It seems to me that it is because three kings came from the east. Their names are Gaspard, Melchior, and Balthazar. They followed a star which led them after a long journey to find the child Jesus in a crib. But what is it really? First, there are three. Is it written in the biblical text? No. This has been deduced from the fact that they offer three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But one person can give three gifts. Or in a group, maybe only three of them bring gifts. Second, are they kings? The Gospel says, Magi, that is to say, learned men. They observe the sky and the stars, astrologers in a way. They may be scientists, as we would say today, but the same word in Greek is used in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. "Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great." Acts chapter 13, verse 6. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. In short, we do not know much about these Magi, but they are not kings. Third, where do they come from? Literally, from where the sun rises, that is, from the east. No indication as to which country they came from. Fourth, their names do not appear in the Gospel. It was in the 6th century that they were given names, and even more than names, some have gone so far as to imagine their physical appearance. It was an archbishop in the 13th century who wrote The Golden Legend, a work on the life of Jesus, Mary, and 150 saints. Here is the portrait of the three kings drawn up by Jacques de Voragine. The first of the Magi was called Melchior. He was an old man with white hair and a long beard. He offered gold to the Lord as to his king, gold signifying the kingship of Jesus. The second, named Gaspar, young, beardless, red in colour, offered to Jesus, in frankincense, homage to his divinity. The third, with a black face with a full beard, was called Balthasar. The myrrh that was in his hands reminded us that the son had to die. Have you noticed any indications as to their age and provenance? With regard to the colour of their skin, we place Gaspar in Asia, Balthasar in Africa, and Melchior in Europe. Considering the size of their beards, Melchior is an old man, Gaspar a young man, and Balthasar in between, one could say. This is how the imagination can make a simple verse say many things that are not there. The only thing that can be deduced from the text of Matthew is that these Magi, incoming from the east, were not Jews, therefore pagans. But who knew how that a new king was to be born for Israel? And the imagination behind the three kings, their names, their origin, their age, simply shows the will of those who wanted to interpret the text to clearly indicate the universal character of the gospel. It is for people of any continent, of any age, of any race. And indeed, this text highlights, like other stories around the Nativity, what John describes in his Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus came among his own, the Jewish world at the time. But who was he welcomed by? Not in the inn, there was no room. Who are the first who saw him, recognized him? In the Gospel of Luke, they are shepherds, not highly rated at the time, well, people of little value. These shepherds had the right to a visit from an angel. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Then there was a choir of angels. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." In the Gospel of Matthew, it is the Magi, foreigners, the rich, the pagans, who are the first to come and prostrate themselves and adore the child Jesus. The Magi set out on a journey from a far eastern land to Jerusalem. They are perhaps in the image of all those who seek God, Christ. Their observation of the stars tells us about the quest for meaning. How is the universe structured? How does it work? Who is behind it all? And how do you know this mighty God? And since he exists, and I exist, there must be meaning to my life. I want to find out. It is the quest for meaning that will lead the Magi to undertake this long journey. What they have observed, what raises their questions, sets them in motion. You have to find, discover what you think you have seen. A person in search of meaning is led to walk, to go through different stages in order to find it. The Magi's encounter with Herod speaks of the encounter between two worlds, the one that seems to have the power and the one that actually holds the power, all power in heaven and on earth. In our search for meaning, for faith, we encounter the enemy, which, however, seems to be of goodwill here in the story of the Magi. They come to inquire, and Herod answers them kindly. How many of us, in search of faith, have not first fallen into the traps of Satan, into false truths, into sectarian currents? Let's dwell for a moment on what Herod does. We read it in verses 2 to 6. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea at the time of King Herod. Now the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The Magi know that the new king has been born, but they don't know exactly where. People in search of meaning, in search of God, vaguely know that he exists, but they do not know where to find him. Now Herod has a genius idea. He summons those who know the Holy Scriptures and consult them. When looking for meaning, it is important to consult the right sources. In this specific case, the priests and specialists of the law will provide the answer, starting from the Scriptures. The answer is before our eyes. We still have to know where to look for it. It is the Scriptures that reveal Jesus, that show the way to encounter him. As for the Magi, priests and scholars of the law will quote the prophet Micah, verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Bethlehem, that's where the Magi must go, those who want to go to adore him. It is still amazing that the Pharisees and masters of the law do not set out with the Magi to go find their Messiah. They have been waiting for him for centuries, but they are not ready to go and worship him. One can have had a whole religious education, know many things about Jesus without setting out to find him, meet him, adore him. The Magi continue on their way. After this halt with Herod, the same star still guides them. The path must seem long to them. How far must one go, seek, before finding the Messiah? Then the star stops its course. They have found the one they were looking for, and their first reaction is to bow down and worship. Finally, they can contemplate what motivated them to undertake such a long journey in search of meaning, in search of the new king, the one who was going to inaugurate a new kingdom. No, the Magi were not kings, otherwise they would have had a diplomatic approach to come and make peace with the king. Here they come to worship, nor do they have the attitude of King Herod. The text says he was troubled by the thought of a new king being born, competition in sight. Competition that Herod fears so much that he will have all children under 2 years of age massacred. Why not newborns? Because contrary to what we think, there is quite a period of time between the departure of Mary and Joseph for Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, and his finding by the Magi. The star told them that he was born. It was not until he was born that they began their journey. And when they have found the child Jesus, they leave from there by another way, because we read in verse 12, warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. On the way, the Magi travelled, it seems, thousands of kilometres to go, as many kilometres to return. And reading the rest of the second chapter of Matthew, we meet other travellers, I would even say refugees. We read from verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Well, Jesus was the son of a couple of displaced people, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where they stayed just under 2 years, according to estimates. Then Joseph, Mary, and Jesus took refuge in Egypt. They were immigrants there. After Herod's death, they returned to their country. Except that out of fear, they will not settle in Bethlehem, where they had made friends, but where they were before. As John recalled a few weeks ago, where they had been covered in shame, Mary being pregnant before the marriage was even consummated, as they say. How did they know where to go? Twice we read that our travellers were warned in a dream. Twice Joseph sees an angel of the Lord appear to him in a dream. It is these dreams that will determine where and when our travellers will head. Do you let yourself be driven by what you have dreamed? However, a word of caution is needed here. Personally, my dreams depend a lot on what I eat in the evening and at what time. Coffee, pizza, spicy dishes after 8 p.m. Dreams are guaranteed. Dreams where I go around in circles in a well-known place and I can't find the exit. These are dreams of places of life in the past, often with people who have already died. These dreams, they cannot guide me. So should we expect dreams from the Lord that give us direction? I wondered if it is common, after this chapter, in the other books of the New Testament, to be warned in a dream. Do we still often see the angel of the Lord appear in a dream? It seems to be not to be so. In the book of Acts, there are occasional mentions of visions. This is the case for Paul, Ananias, Peter. Then it stops. Don't make me say what I didn't say. I'm not saying that there are no more dreams or visions these days. Only it has become much rarer, and that is logical. We have Jesus with us every day until the end of the world, and we have received the Holy Spirit who guides us permanently if we want. Dreams are common among Muslims who seek to know the truth about God. They sometimes see a man dressed in white appear. You have heard this kind of story. Appearance. I started with the Epiphany celebration. If we go back to the Old Testament, we find there a certain number of epiphanies, apparitions of the Lord. I won't name them all, but you remember the visit of the three men to Abraham near the oaks of Mamre? In the dialogue it is written, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why then did Sarah laugh, saying to herself, 'Will I really have a child, I who am old?'" Another epiphany, this time for Jacob. He wrestled all night with a man. We read in Genesis chapter 32, verses 29 and 30. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." There are other epiphanies to point out to you in the Old Testament. For example, in Exodus chapter 3, the well-known passage where God speaks to Moses from the burning bush. Or in 1 Kings chapter 19, where God appeared to Elijah in a soft and light whisper. While for Job, the epiphany is in a storm. In chapter 38, verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of the midst of the storm. Then there were prophets who had divine visions, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year of the death of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord seated on a very high throne. The lower edge of his garment filled the temple." What is evident in the Old Testament is that God wants to reveal himself to men, to enter into relationship with them. God manifests himself so that we recognize him as such. And finally, in the New Testament, God the Father manifests himself in a very special way, in his Son Jesus, who became man. From the occasional sporadic epiphany in the Old Testament to Emmanuel, God with us, And after his resurrection, in accordance with the promise of Jesus, we can live in his presence, be accompanied by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you. Conclusion. Epiphany, the Magi discovered Jesus after a long journey. Are you like the Magi, on the way, on a quest? Or are you like the teachers of the law? They knew where Jesus was to come into the world, but they did not know when, and they did not set out. Where have you already found Emmanuel, his daily presence in your life, and in his indwelling Holy Spirit? Amen.